So I would like to start this morning by reminding all of you about something which you might already know. And that is this, that the kingdom of heaven is not like the kingdom of earth. In many ways, maybe all ways, it's exactly the opposite. What is down on earth is up in heaven. What is outside on earth is inside in heaven. What is strength on earth is weakness in heaven. And what is poverty on earth is power in heaven. But first, as is my habit, let me start with something funny. An elderly pastor was searching in his closet for his collar before church one Sunday morning. In the back of the closet, he found a small box containing 3 eggs and $100 bills. He called his wife into the closet to ask her about the box and its contents. Embarrassed, she admitted that she had hidden the box there for their entire 30 years of marriage. Disappointed and hurt, the pastor asked why. The wife replied that she hadn't wanted to hurt his feelings. He asked her how the box could hurt his feelings. She said, "Every time that you preached a poor sermon, I put an egg in the box." Well, the pastor felt that 3 eggs for 30 years of preaching was nothing to feel bad about, so he asked her what the $100 was for. She said, "Each time I got a dozen eggs, I sold them to the neighbors for a dollar." I told my wife, who was in the contemporary service, I said, "I'm going to check our closets from now on." So welcome to week 2 of our new Quitter series. And if you missed last week, we're using the imagery of rain to symbolize God's grace. And we're using umbrellas to symbolize those things in our life which might shield us from God's grace. Last week we talked about how the news might be skewed towards the negative, and if we're not careful, it will plant seeds of fear and doubt and worry in our hearts, and that can shield us from God's love and His mercy and His grace. So I'm just curious, did anybody take me up on my challenge and cut out all news or a little bit of news? 1, 2, okay. 3, a little bit. Okay, so that challenge still holds for this week. What I didn't tell you last week was prior to last week's sermon, I cut out all news. All news for the entire week. So I didn't read anything online. I didn't read a newspaper. I didn't listen to radio. Instead, I picked up an extra devotional, or I listened to praise music on the radio, and it was a nice break. So I encourage all of you to at least try that. So today we are going to look at quitting our possessions. And to kick this topic off, I would like to go back to the beginning to make a case for why this might be a good thing. The book of Genesis tells us in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And the light was good. God separated the waters and the sky. God made dry land, and He saw that the land was good. God grew plants, and they were good. God made animals, and they were good. And then He said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. And so God created mankind in His image, and it was good. Amen. It was good. God's creation, everything in it, including us, was good. In the beginning, Adam and Eve walked the earth beside God. They were in communion with Him. They knew Him and they loved Him. And as I was writing this, I thought, wouldn't that be awesome to be with God? Adam and Eve wake up and Eve says, hey, Adam, what do you want to do today? Oh, I don't know. Why don't we have breakfast with God? And then maybe we could take a walk with God. And then maybe we'll take a nap with God. And then something happened. And they were separated from God. And life became hard. Many people don't know this, or many people have forgotten this, but we are still dealing with that separation from God today. Even this morning, our union has been broken. And as you might expect, this brokenness, it doesn't feel very good. In fact, it feels pretty horrible. This feeling of separation shows up in our hearts in the form of doubt, in the form of worry. It shows up as fear, fear of rejection, fear of uncertainty, fear of disappointment. It shows up as anger, as bitterness, as selfishness. If you are feeling any of those things today, you are feeling a separation from God. And that separation, it also produces in us almost like a forgetfulness, an amnesia. So we don't say to ourselves, I'm experiencing all of these negative things because I'm separated from God. We say, I'm experiencing all of these negative things, these feelings, and I don't really know why. Could that describe any of you here today? And instead of turning to God for help, we turn to the world. So we have a fear of rejection, and so we might buy a fancy car, or we buy a big house in the hopes that somebody will like us more. We have a fear of uncertainty, a fear of the future, so we surround ourselves with stuff that we own, stuff that can't be taken away from us, so it gives us this false sense of security. We have a fear of disappointment. So we stop putting our hope in people and relationships and friendships, and we seek our pleasure in objects, new shoes, power tools, expensive new electronic gadgets, new insert the blank. And before we know it, we have surrounded ourselves with possessions, all trying to fill a hole in our hearts, trying to heal a wound in our soul, trying to close a separation that they cannot possibly close. And once again, we have put up an umbrella between us and God, shielding us from His grace. So what is the answer? How do we fix this? I think our scripture from this morning gives us a couple of clues. So let's look at it again. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins. Calling his disciples, Jesus said, truly I tell you, This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on. And I think it's interesting the imagery that's used in this scripture. Verse 41 says, many rich people threw large amounts into the treasury. And I just get this picture of this arrogance, right? This cockiness that here is my offering. You're lucky to have it. And then in verse 42, it says, the poor widow came and put in two very small coins. Not only what she gave for her offering was different, but how she gave her offering, the feeling behind the offering. And Jesus says the most amazing thing. He says, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. And once again, we are reminded that poverty on earth is power in heaven. So this woman's power comes out of her poverty. By giving out of her poverty, she's given more than all the others. This is significant. This is why this matters, because many of us recognize the poverty in our lives. The scarcity, the deficiencies, the shortages, the lack. A poverty of faith might show up in worry and doubt and uncertainty. A poverty of patience might show up as anger and bitterness. A poverty of focus might show up as selfishness, as busyness, as a lack of time or motivation to get closer to God. And all of these poverties, all of these negative feelings, all of the angst and the heartache and the depression that come from them come from a separation from God. Yet we forget that that is the base issue. We forget that that is the root cause. And so we try to get rid of all of these poverties, or we try to cover them up with stuff, with possessions. Yet Jesus is telling us that all of the poor widow's wealth comes from her poverty. And all we want to do, right, is cover our poverty up or hide it or get rid of it or pray it away. God, take this out of my life. Jesus is saying that's where her power comes from. Her poverty, her brokenness. You know, and this won't surprise most of you, that the Bible has a lot to say about brokenness. If in this season of Lent, if we're looking to get closer to God, if we're looking for ways to get rid of the obstacles that are between us and God, then I believe the answer lies in our own poverty or brokenness. There is a thread woven throughout the Bible of brokenness, this idea that we are most powerful when we're broken. This idea that we are most connected to God, we are most connected to Jesus when we're broken. And stick with me here, because this is not necessarily a message anybody likes to hear, right? That it is our brokenness that blesses us. It is our brokenness that pulls us closer to God, particularly in this country, right? Nobody wants to hear that, where strength and honor and pride are all lifted up. Remember what I said, though. Strength on earth is weakness in heaven. And poverty on earth is power in heaven. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 51:8 says, make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken, rejoice. One more, Psalm 147:3 says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Are you starting to see God loves the brokenhearted because we are drawn closer to Him? That separation starts to shrink. And what often happens if we are brave enough to embrace our poverties is we get broken of our independence. We get broken of our pride. We get broken of our insistence that our way is better than God's way. And that separation shrinks more. When we give out of our poverty, we are saying, we are admitting that we are not enough. We don't have all the answers. We can't possibly do it alone. And when we do that, we not only get closer to God, but we become a better tool to do His work. Because we get out of the way. And what is God's work? God's work is to close the separation between Him and all of His children. To bring all of His children back home. And an amazing thing happens when we embrace our poverty and we give out of this poverty is we draw others closer to Him. Let me give you a couple of examples what that might look like. When we give out of our poverty of faith, when we grab onto our doubt and our worry and our uncertainty and our fear, and we might say to others, you know, I don't know what's going on. I don't have a clue how God is working in all of this, yet through my doubt, through my worry, through my fear, I struggle and fight to build up a faith that is strong. Come, join me. Let's do this together. When we give out of our poverty of patience, we might show anger, we might show bitterness, but we can reach out to others and say, yes, I'm angry, I'm bitter, I'm disappointed. Like Psalm 22 says, I shout out to God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you, God? But you know what? It's okay to be angry and bitter and disappointed because that means I still have hope for the plan God has for me. I have not given up hope. If you feel that way, join me. Let's do this together. We might say, yes, I struggle with selfishness, with busyness, with a lack of time or motivation. But these are the things that ultimately draw me closer to God because I feel that separation. And you know, I said this in the contemporary service. This was an extra bonus material. And they liked it, so I'm going to add this to all of you. I've found this to be true, right? Our poverty, our brokenness, not only pulls us closer to God, but it brings everyone else closer to Him through us. And what I told the contemporary service was, when I started here, almost 2 years ago, my biggest fear was that I did not know Scripture enough. That was the biggest fear. And I was afraid that all of you would call me out and would yell at me because I said something wrong. That was my biggest fear. And what I've found is the sermons that connected most with people was when I dragged the skeletons out of my closet and said I was broken. And this is how God fixed me. I was lost, and this is how God found me. And so I told the group in the contemporary service, I said, I don't really think anybody cares how much scripture you know. I don't think they care. I think what they care about is when you were lost or broken or in poverty and God spoke to you and saved you and came to you and loved you. Does that make sense? So I want to close with this last thought about this separation between us and God and how we can close it and how we can fix it, because ultimately this is what God says about us fixing this separation. He says you can't. We can't fix it. We might close it a little, but we can't fix it. But God says, I can. And I did. God says, I came down to earth in human form. And as Jesus, I lived with you. I walked with you and I was in communion with you. I had breakfast with you and I took naps with you. On the night before, or the night of his betrayal at the Last Supper, Jesus took a loaf of bread and he broke it and said to his disciples, take this. This is my body. He broke it. He broke his body. He became poverty for us. He did the most unimaginable thing. He came down as a human, and as a human, he served us. He wrapped himself in poverty, and he gave. And he said, I know about this separation between you and my Heavenly Father. I feel this separation between you and my Heavenly Father. I feel your despair, your loneliness, your worry. I feel your rejection, your uncertainty, your anger, your bitterness, and I came here to fix it. Amen? And this is the part that still blows me away. He says, all you have to do to close this gap, to close this separation, all you have to do is believe in me. That's it. Is just believe in me. And when you know me, you will know my Heavenly Father. And this separation that you've experienced will go away and you will experience joy and hope and love and mercy and forgiveness and all the umbrellas that we put up in our lives, right, will be washed away. And we will experience God's grace. And it still, it's hard for me to believe. He says, all you have to do is believe. That's it. And it's done. I would like to give all of you an opportunity to close that gap again, once again, to close that separation. Maybe you've done this before and you've said to God, I believe in you. Maybe you've asked Jesus in your heart before. I want to give you that opportunity again. Maybe you have never done it. And this is the first time. It's simple. It's a simple prayer that we can pray to God. So please pray with me. God, I am sorry for all the things that I have done wrong in my life. The Bible calls this sin. God, I want to thank you for sending Jesus into this world. I want to thank you, God, for sending him into this world to close this separation, that this gap that exists between me and you. I am so thankful that Jesus came down, he broke his body, in his poverty he gave to us. Thank you, God. Please, Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart where I will make you my Lord and my Savior. Amen.